What's up, sports fans and listeners wherever you happen to be, and welcome to our first edition of Sports from the Six. Inside the Centennial College radio booth, I'm Ali Khan Rivjani, alongside my esteemed co-host, Dwayne, as the world turns Turner.
Appreciate that intro, buddy.
And Flip, a.k.a. Filippo Livingston.
Respect for the shout-out, a.k.a. Happy to be here.
We're going to be providing you with your weekly sports fix right here from the Six, a.k.a. Toronto. Before we get into that, I want to get a little bit of an introduction from our other co-hosts. Dwayne, Flip, tell me a little bit about yourselves, what you're studying, what you want to do, and about the sports that you love.
All right, buddy. Well, for me, I'm an avid sports fan. I always have been. I watch as many games as I can, as much as I can. I guess for me, how it started, the funny thing is, like, between my mom and my dad, you'd always assume that the male figure is the one who kind of enjoys the sports the most, but it was actually my mom. She was the athlete of the family. She played a lot of sports when she was in Jamaica, and then she just kind of carried it over when we eventually moved to Canada. So, you know, it was from her I picked up certain things. I remember being young and watching some of the Jordan highlights that she'd be watching on TV. And football's that's where I got my passion for football. She loves football, and now it's become my favorite sport. I mean, when it comes to sports, you can't compete in terms of the storylines you get from it in every day, day in, day out. It really is incredible. So in terms of, I guess, some of the sports teams I cheer for, like I said, football's my favorite sport to watch. So the Philadelphia Eagles are the team that I usually root for. They had a bit of an off year. We won the NFC East a year ago, but had to...
A long time ago.
We had to give up that spot to the Cowboys, which I'm telling you, man, that was rough. That was rough for me. In terms of the other teams, like, I love Liverpool when it comes to European soccer. I love TFC when it comes to the MLS.
For your loss.
I love the Raptors. Can't get enough of them, and I'm so proud of the way they're playing right now. And, yeah, hockey, I don't really have a favorite team, but, I mean, the Leafs are there, right?
Yeah, they're just kind of there. I mean, they exist. I don't know if they're any good, but they're kind of there. Flip?
Yeah, I've been a big sports fan ever since I can remember. Been living and breathing sports since I was a little kid, and, you know, just happy to be on the path that we're all on now. Hopefully trying to make a name for ourselves and carve out a niche in this crazy world of sports media. In terms of favorite teams, you know, I'm a Toronto boy, tried and true. Been watching the Jays, Leafs, Raptors my whole life. I want to say I've been watching the Argos, but I can't lie to you guys. CFL is almost like watching paint dry. No disrespect to those guys. I know they go hard, but not my thing.
Shout out to Malcolm. We know you love the CFL.
Shout out Malcolm Kelly one time. But, yeah, you know, just happy to be here and happy to be talking sports with you guys. But I don't know. What about you, AK? Favorite sports?
For me, I grew up, I love the stories more than anything. Special moments that you see in sports. For example, Nick Petan, World Juniors, you saw his dad bring down the hat and toss it onto the ice. Yep. John McDonald, the home run that he hit on Father's Day time ago. Yes, Johnny Mac, shout out Johnny Mac, who just retired. but yeah, for me, I grew up with favorite teams, favorite players. I'm a small guy, 5'3", so naturally Allen Iverson was the guy I gravitated to as a child. Loved his ball skills, used to wear his jersey. Oof. In fact, I wore it every single day until it washed off. People used to ask me if I actually had other clothes. Oof. The answer was yes, by the way. Is yes. Sorry, it continues to be yes.
I'm doubting it still.
He's doubting it. Flip's like, oh, what's that stank? But nah, and then Kobe Bryant. I don't know what it is about Kobe Bryant, just the natural competitor in him. Mm-hmm. That keeps me going. Even though he's not at his best anymore and he's injured, I think most people that watch Kobe over his career know that that's a shade of him. And that even through that, he still fights to try and come back stronger than ever. And though it might not work out, he's still a guy that's competing. In terms of teams, I follow everything Toronto. I kind of just watch them, keep track of who they are. For the most part, they all stink. But I mean, they're there.
Ouch.
Well, you mentioned Kobe. You going to miss him this year at the All-Star game? Are you going to cry a small tear, or are you going to still have fun and watch that game?
You know what? I'm going to watch that exhibition matchup take place. I think there's a lot of good storylines that go out during All-Star weekend, but I'm actually more excited to see things like the three-point shootout and the dunk competition.
Yes, sir.
See the athleticism. Dwayne, what do you think, man? So many shooters coming around.
Oh, the star-studded three-point comp.
I mean, obviously the dunk contest has been kind of the highlight of that Saturday night, but I'm telling you, that three-point contest, the guys they're putting up there, oh, man, I can't wait to see those guys shoot the ball.
Shoot the lights out, hopefully.
Who do you see as a guy that could potentially be a dark horse in that race? There's a lot of good shooters coming out in the three-point race.
Man, you know what? Who's the defending champion? Is it Bellinelli?
I think it's Marco Bellinelli. Yeah, he was coming back, by the way.
I'm telling you, I don't know. I really don't. I mean, obviously the highlights are going to be Curry, Thompson, and obviously Kyle Korver, who is shooting the ball at a historic rate right now. Dark horse, though.
You know, I think it was Stan Van Gundy on the broadcast a couple of days ago that was like, maybe just for this year, they should change it up. And instead of putting the dunk competition last, they should put the three-ball competition last just because of the spectacle that it's going to be.
I agree. I agree. I really think that that's going to be the highlight of the night. I don't know what you think, Flip.
I agree. Honestly, if I were to pick a dark horse, and it's tough to do so, but looking at that spread of players, I'd go with Harden. As much as he's not really a dark horse, going up against that competition of three-point studs, he's in tough. Wow. Kyle Korver, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, unbelievable. Definitely we're past the Jason Capono days, I think we can say.
Oh, my. Way past the Jason Capono days, man. That guy got a four-year deal, $24 million. And just
shout out Jason Capono one time.
Shout out Brian Colangelo right here one time. Brian Colangelo, Hito Turkoglu, still paying them dividends.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I'm looking at this list right now, and I kind of like me some Wesley Matthews. I don't know about you. I feel like he's that dark horse. Yeah, official dark horse Wesley Matthews from a team that has, frankly, a lot to prove. We saw what happened with Damian Lillard earlier this month.
That's true.
All-star snub. I don't know how you guys feel about that. He finally got on the team, said the right things, but, I mean, I feel like he shouldn't have been missed the first time.
So who would you have taken off to get him on?
Honestly, that's the million-dollar question. I think in the Western Conference, you're looking at it, and you're seeing guys like Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and as much as we don't want an All-Star weekend without those two guys there, the truth is, they're not in a playoff position right now, and they didn't play a lot of games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are a few guys, really, that could take that spot. You look at this year more than ever, teams are succeeding. I don't know about you guys, but Draymond Green comes to mind for me.
For sure.
Defensive player of the year candidate.
Absolutely, and he's a guy that he hasn't impressed you with the sexy numbers, per se, but he comes out every night. He'll guard your best player, giving Curry and Thompson a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
I think actually what you said there is actually what it is. It's not the sexy pick. He's more of a, if we're talking about the rest of these names, he's more of an unknown. But realistically, it should be your play that does the talking. And he's been speaking pretty loud out there, and I agree with you. He should be in there. But looking at the East and West lineups, man, it's tough to crack that Western Conference lineup.
I mean, when you think about it, I mean, the West has been tough all year. And you're right. I mean, to have to take anybody out of what you see right now, it would be almost impossible.
Yeah, you look at that Western Conference right now, and there's 9 games separating the top 7 seeds. On average, it's taken 50 wins the last few years just to get into the playoffs. So it's definitely a star-studded place. But there's no doubt there's guys that got snubbed. You look at Memphis sitting there at that number 2 seed. They got Marc Gasol, but what about Zach Randolph?
Yeah.
He takes the load off. Yeah, Z-Bo, man. Z-Bo takes the load off every time for Marc Gasol.
Yeah,
he bangs down low in the paint. He's shooting his highest percentage in a few years. This is a guy that could easily have made the All-Star team here. And, I mean, as much as Damian Lillard feels snubbed, I don't know if anyone should feel snubbed more than Zach Randolph himself.
Right. You look at some of the numbers he's putting up. It's actually quite incredible.
Absolutely. He's got the highest field goal percentage that he's ever had in Memphis. And you look at the efficiency that that team's playing with, the defensive toughness that they bring every single night.
It's strange with Memphis. I feel like, in general, they're an underrated team. They don't get the props they deserve, which is strange because they've been there every year for, like, the past six seasons now. And you got Gasol and Zebo.
Mike Conley.
Yeah. And you got these guys coming off the bench. Like, I'm shocked at how underrated that squad is still today.
And let's not forget, they just beat one of the hottest teams in the league, Atlanta, not too long ago.
Yeah.
I mean, they have what it takes. There's no question about it.
You look at that team, and you look at the pickup that they just made. Jeff Green, I think they got from Boston.
Huge.
And you really think this is a guy that he fit in everywhere he goes. He was great in Oklahoma City as that piece alongside Durant and Westbrook.
Right.
He went to Boston. You could tell. I mean, I have all the love in the world for Brad Stevens as a coach. I think he's a great coach, and Absolutely. He really fit there as well.
Yeah.
And now you see him coming in into a system at Memphis, and you just think, could this be the piece that they need to lead them over the top, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, what would you guys say has been their difficulty once they get into the playoffs these past few seasons? Because, I mean, we saw them upset the Spurs a few years back.
Right.
They made the Western Conference title game not too long ago as well. I mean, what do you think that Jeff Green puts them over the top and eventually gets them over the hump?
Honestly, I look at Jeff Green as a huge improvement over Tayshaun Prince, who they were using earlier. A Tayshaun Prince that, if this was 2004, ecstatic to have him as your wing defender. But this is a time now where every single team down on this list has outstanding wings. Klay Thompson, James Harden, Dallas comes at you with Monte Ellis and Chandler Parsons now. The Clippers bring Blake Griffin. Jeff Green's the kind of guy that you can put him in at that 3-4, and right. He sort of stretches out. He can guard.
Even the two, maybe.
Yeah, even the two, absolutely. Mm. He's a lot like Markieff Morris in Phoenix. These are guys that are versatile. They can defend different positions, and he's an important piece. Honestly, he's not an all-star player, of course. He doesn't fit with Zebo, but at the same time, he gives guys like Zebo and Randolph Zebo and Gasol a chance to sort of catch their breath and at times not take plays off, but sort of lessen the load that's placed on their shoulders every night.
I'd have to agree with you for sure. And I think they've had a great season. They're sitting in second in the West, which is, in my opinion, the way better conference talent-wise. But realistically, watching those Golden State Warriors play this year, seeing Thompson and Curry light it up the way they've been doing, I don't know if those two can be stopped at this point.
It all hinges on Bogut. I mean, they really don't have anything backing him up. They need that big. If they have a healthy Bogut, it's going to be impossible to stop them. Because, I mean, we've seen individual games from Curry where he goes off for over 50. And then, obviously, we know the, 37-point quarter for Klay Thompson? Yep.
Correct,
Blaine. I mean, that's unbelievable.
So if you got your guards putting up average of 60 points, even 50 points a game from two guys, you're going to be going deep in that Western Conference playoff run.
And not to mention Draymond Green, like you brought up earlier. I mean, you have that guy as well. Oof.
And shout out Steve Kerr one time.
Yes. Shout out Steve Kerr. I think I'm looking at that roster, and I see Sean Livingston there as a guy that last year in the playoffs, you saw him for the Nets against the Raptors. His length just gave DeMar DeRozan tons of crazy problems. I think for them, that's a great pickup. As much as I love Jarrett Jack and the things that he's doing in Brooklyn and the things he did for Golden State the past couple of years for Mark Jackson, I think what Steve Kerr is trying to implement in taking that team to the next level, I think guys like Sean Livingston and the usage of Maurice Spates and just trying that positionless basketball, David Lee's kind of struggling to find his role, but once they get him going as well, they have weapons all over their lineup.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's a team that could come at you in so many ways. The scary part is they could finish first in the West and maybe face a San Antonio or an Oklahoma City in the first round.
Dream matchups for fans. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, I've been hearing that, you know, when the season slowly gets to the end, there might be some teams that might do some sort of, how should I say it? They might work together to make sure that they don't get OKC in the playoffs, because that is not an 8 seed that you want to be playing.
Absolutely not. You're going to get a team that's coming out gunning. They're essentially, this is their playoffs right now. They are playing playoff basketball.
Right.
They are attacking right now. Kevin Durant scored 40 points on 19 shots last night in Denver, which is just bonkers when you think about NBA efficiency.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook is playing at an all-time high, and as much as they probably don't deserve to be at the All-Star game, there's no doubt that in this league, they are superstars. They are mega talents. They can win you a series. One of them can win you a series on 100%. Their own if they get hot.
Yep.
And that's probably half of what gets them in there, though, their name. We were talking about it before. Maybe not necessarily most deserving in terms of this year's play, but when you look at their quote-unquote legacy so far, they're all-star players. And you know what? Those two catch fire. Realistically, we mentioned a duo that's already on fire. I would not want to go up against Durant and Westbrook when they're going full tilt. That's a scary pairing, and I would want to steer clear of that pick in the playoffs for sure.
Speaking of a guy who is a star, how do you guys feel about Anthony Davis, a.k.a. the Brow?
Oh, boy. I you know what? I'm going to say something controversial, but I think he's the best NBA player in the league right now.
Someone put that on tape right now. Wow. Dwayne Turner.
Hashtag he said it.
Hashtag he said it. Dwayne Turner, Sports from the Six, just said that Anthony Davis is the best player in the NBA. And you know what? I think I'm inclined to agree with him.
He's on record. And you know what? I'm a huge Anthony Davis fan. Him coming out of the NCAA, he was dominant there. And what's scary is he's only getting better. And he's got time to grow. And what, this is his third season in the league?
He's growing.
Third
he's
season growing in the league, and he's putting up numbers like he's a 15-year all-star vet. And this kid is just impressing on all levels.
21 years old.
21 years old.
Let that sink in for a bit, guys.
And we talked about OKC. You see here in the Pelicans, another team that's been riddled by injuries. They're missing an all-star point guard themselves in Jrue Holiday, a guy who in Philadelphia was establishing himself as one of the better, at least offensive point guards in the league.
Agreed.
A guy that can run an offense, help run an offense. They're kind of using Tyreek Evans now in that point guard slot. They have depth on their bench with Ryan Anderson as well.
Sharpshooter.
This is a team that maybe we shouldn't disqualify them as a potential playoff team as well.
No,
definitely not. And like we'd said before, the West is stacked. You throw New Orleans into the East matchup, you know, they might slot in the fifth or sixth spot. But in the West, they're in tough. But they're emerging. Give them time. Guy like Davis, he's going to be potentially the best, one of the best ever, I think, anyway. Big fan of Davis.
All right, guys. We wouldn't be able to talk about a show from the Six without actually talking about the Six. Let's move a little bit closer to home now. And we've seen Kyle Lowry all season. He was named an All-Star starter, beating out Dwayne Wade in that last section of voting. Ooh, shout out Kalo 7.
Well deserved.
Very well deserved. This is the third All-Star starter in Raptors history. He trails only Vince Carter and Chris Bosh, two big imprints on the franchise, and the fifth All-Star in total, joining that list Antonio Davis and DeMar DeRozan. Guys, does Kyle Lowry deserve to be an All-Star starter, first of all?
You know, it's tough because I think especially when DeRozan was out, I think he 100% deserved it because, I mean, he was carrying the team through that little stretch. And you know what? I'll say 100% he deserves it because, I mean, for one, he should never have been left off the team last year.
Mm-hmm.
So to have him on now is more than deserving. And, I mean, you look at the other guards in the East. I mean, John Wall has to be there. Kyle Lowry is there. I mean, who else would you guys put above him?
It's tough. Actually, I think, didn't John Wall just get scratched due to injury from the All-Star game? I thought I read that.
I'm not sure. It might.
Yeah, it could be.
It might be there.
But
breaking news here, Filippo Livingston giving
you don't quote us on that. You know, don't take it to the bank. But I thought I read that somewhere. But in terms of Kyle Lowry, you know, I love this player. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He's the player you want to have the ball at the end of the game, no doubt. And that's saying something considering we do have a shooter like DeMar DeRozan. You know, he wants to play in Toronto. He's come out and said he loves the city, and that's the type of player we need here in Toronto. You know, as a Toronto fan the past two decades, how many times have we had guys don't want to play here, downright say they're not coming to Toronto, waive trades because they don't want to play up north? I admire a player who comes from the U.S. and comes out and says he wants to play up north and represent Canada. And I think that's something that these guys really do and take on every night. They're not only representing the Six, they're representing the whole country. And I think it's something that they're relishing right now, and they're showing it. They're playing for us, and they're playing for the country.
You see Lowry, and it would have been easy for a guy coming off that first-round disappointment last year. We all remember Kyle Lowry driving to the lane, Paul Pierce blocking a shot, a play that was supposed to be run from the other side.
Right.
And it was just, unfortunately, the situation didn't work out. Signs a big deal. It's very easy for a player like that to just say, listen, I made my money, I've made my imprint, I've had my success. And for me, what's most impressive is the guy came back, and he came back in the best shape of his life.
Yes.
And even though he slowed down a little bit this past little stretch for the Raptors,
right. Yep.
I don't think there's a doubt that this season he's played the best basketball of his career.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, I was actually kind of shocked myself, the amount of effort, and to see just how much better he has gotten over the course of a year. I mean, like you said, I mean, it's easy for a guy after a contract has been given out to just kind of take it easy from then on. But
for sure.
He was not going to do that. He was determined to not only get the Raptors back to where they were, but to get past that, you know, and go beyond that point. So kudos to him.
Kudos to him for sure. Kudos to the whole team. You know, they really put Toronto back on the map. It's been a while since we've had a team that people talk about, people care about since the Vince Carter days. You know, where there was a bit of a splash there with the Bosch and Calderon days. But this team is fun to watch. They're passionate. And I think out of looking at the Eastern Conference All-Stars, he's earned his way there. A lot of these guys, you know, LeBron, Carmelo, they're going to be there regardless. Kyle has really earned his spot there with the support of the amazing Toronto faithful. Can't forget them. But I feel like he's really earned his spot there this year.
And, Flip, you spoke about the Eastern Conference All-Stars. Mm-hmm. A team that we can't go without mentioning are the Atlanta Hawks, a team that's
definitely
43-10 right now, number one in the NBA, just one in the loss column behind Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team they've been electric in their past. I think they've won 33 out of 35 or something ridiculous, yeah, like
something
that.
Like
they're
that.
On a tear.
Yeah, they're on a tear. They have three All-Stars in Jeff Teague, Paul Millsap, and Al Horford. Do they deserve three All-Stars? And maybe do they deserve a fourth All-Star?
Oh, I think they deserve a fourth All-Star. I mentioned it earlier. I mean, Kyle Korver, how he's shooting the ball right now. I mean, he could be the first player to shoot 50, 50, and 90 in NBA history. I mean, it is incredible how and just watching him play, it's unbelievable. I mean, he'll come off a screen and with no hesitation just puts the ball up. I mean, just imagine having that kind of a guy on your team that every other time he puts up the ball for three, it's going in.
So we asked the question before then, Dwayne. Who you pulling out for Horford? Or sorry, Korver.
Oh, man.
Like I'm
I've heard the argument that with the Heat, how they've been playing, I mean, they don't deserve to have the two All-Stars. I mean, in their prime, obviously we know Wade and Bosch, they are top players in the league, but maybe they aren't as deserving a team to have the two All-Stars. So maybe I take out Dwayne Wade. I know that's, you know, some people won't like to hear that, but.
No, I think that's a good pick. If we're talking about just based on their year this year, which is what it should be, as much as legacy clearly does play a role, I'm thinking as much as he started off hot, Jimmy Butler's really cooled off the past few weeks. And, you know, I guess the All-Star game is about showcasing young talent, but I'd prefer to see Korver in there for Butler, but that's just me.
Honestly, guys, I look at this and I say, if I'm running the NBA All-Star voting and picking my reserves, there's no way Bosch makes it. There's no way Wade makes it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that is 8th in the Eastern Conference right now, sitting at 22-29.
Wow.
Guys, they're tied with Charlotte for that 7th seed. They are not a good basketball team this year whatsoever. They are relying on huge contributions from Norris Cole, Shabazz Napier, Mario Chalmers.
Shabazz,
man. That's how bad it's gotten that Hassan Whiteside got cut from the Raptors D-League Raptors Summer League roster. He's become their savior, playing major minutes there. He's putting up historic numbers, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But this is the guy that when he was out of the lineup for a game, or he came out of the second half a couple days ago, and this team was like, oh no, what are we going to do without Whiteside? So much so as Hassan Whiteside, guys. This is not Shaquille O'Neal here in the middle. Yeah, I mean, Hassan Whiteside. So, I mean, I think you look at their team and you see a couple guys in the East. You see Kyle Korver, who's a lot like Draymond Green, who we talked about, a glue guy. He does all the little things well for his size. He sees the court. He sets very good screens. Mm-hmm. Shooting 50-50-90, as Dwayne said, on an NBA defense. I didn't do that against house league defenses in my day, and this guy is doing that against NBA defenses.
Right.
Guys, I want to get your thoughts on one last team before we really head into the All-Star break, and that's the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay.
This is a team that we know what happened with Jason Kidd, wanted more power in Brooklyn, didn't get it, got sauced, goes to Milwaukee, takes over, and specifically does things with their young core. Brandon Knight comes to mind as a guy that could really be an All-Star. What do you guys think of the Bucks so far going into this, I guess, unofficial halfway point of the season, and Brandon Knight in the season that he's really had?
I think you hit the nail on the head, right? Kidd has worked his magic with that young talent there, and coming off of the roster he had in New Jersey, where it's almost the opposite. He's got all these solidified Hall of Fame, all-star type guys, to come to a team like Milwaukee where you have all these relative unknowns, I think really speaks to not only Kidd's ability to work the young talent, but really what these young kids are made of in Milwaukee. Also, I got to shout out Zaza Pachulia one time.
Yeah, no, I think Kidd is definitely a Coach of the Year candidate because, I mean, remember what Milwaukee was a season ago. I mean, they had the number two overall pick for a reason.
Who, by the way, got injured.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not seeing Jabari Parker right now, and for them to still continue this high level of play is pretty impressive.
For sure.
I mean, some of the young talent they have on this team, I mean, you look at, obviously, I'm not going to try and pronounce his last name, Giannis, the Greek freak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of these guys are just, I mean, they're just so athletic and long. I mean, it's hard to match up against them. I mean, the Raptors found that out not too long ago. They're a good up and coming team.
And you look
Kidd's
at
the Kidd's the coach to be coaching them right now.
You look at their team and you think, man, these guys could cause a lot of matchup problems. They got John Henson,
yes.
Larry Sanders, who's been out and might be coming back soon, hopefully for the Bucks. This is a guy that presents mismatch problems. He plays electric defense. This is a team that's built on defense, and you look at basketball in the playoffs, and that's ultimately what wins.
Right.
They could be a scary first-round matchup for anyone with the length and challenges they provide.
I think so, yeah.
And, yeah, just looking at this roster, they've got these veterans sprinkled into the young lineup like Jared Dudley, Jared Bayless.
Kenyon Martin.
Recently picking up Kmart out of a who knows where they got him.
OJ Mayo feels like playing this year as well.
I know.
So it's looking like they got the right mix of young talent and vets, and with Kidd behind the bench, who knows? Sky's the limit at this point, I guess, in Milwaukee, which is something you've maybe not heard so much in the past little while, NBA circles.
And they're playing with house money right now. I mean, they had no expectations going in, so they're just letting it loose right now.
All right, guys. I want to thank you all for listening to our first edition of Sports from the Six. AK, along with Dwayne Turner and Flip, signing off. Be sure to join us again next week. And follow our podcast online. Thanks, guys, and have a great week.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, AK.